anniversary, and my wife continues to surprise me after 21 years of marriage, mostly in delightful ways, sometimes less delightful. Think about your own heart. Do you know what you want and why you do what you do at every given moment? Sometimes I surprise myself, and I say to myself, Mark, what were you thinking or doing? If I can't fully describe my own thoughts and desires and actions, then how much more mysterious than me is God? T.F. Torrance is a Scottish theologian, now gone and with the Lord, but he's best known for a pioneering work and writing that he did in the realm of science and theology. And Torrance was particularly fond of the mystery that exists in God becoming human and in the internal working of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Torrance suggested that whatever knowledge we're seeking, our method of inquiry needs to fit the nature of the reality being investigated. That makes sense, doesn't it? Once we determine what it is that we want to uncover, we need to match our investigation with the thing being looked at. So, for example, if we wanted to know something about the physical properties of a candle, well, then we can use our five senses to observe all kinds of things. We can look at it and say, well, what color is it? How hard is it? How heavy is it? At what temperature does a candle come to its melting point? Using our senses to observe are really what's available to us. Again, the nature of the reality being investigated needs to guide the method of inquiry. So here's the question. How do we investigate a God that is not like us, that's beyond us, and above us? In a biblical way of thinking, a mystery is not an unsolved puzzle. It's simply something that God has not yet revealed. Humanity is not God's plaything. And so God doesn't keep secrets from us, keeping us in the dark in some kind of bizarre manipulative power play. Instead, God is always working a plan that includes letting us know what can be known at just the right time. In Ephesians 1, verse 8 to 10, Paul writes, "With all wisdom and understanding, he, God the Father, made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment." Which is to say, God has a master plan for this whole world, and at the centerpiece of his plan was the coming of Jesus, God the Son becoming human, living his life in absolute obedience, dying on the cross, being raised to life so that the world could be forgiven, so that we could be reconciled to the Father. A mystery that has now been made plain in the coming of Jesus. Because God is infinite and we aren't, we can't unravel the mystery of God from our end. Yes, we've been given minds to think, to observe, but no amount of human investigation can solve the mystery of God. Only God can reveal God. And so throughout history, this is exactly what God has done. He's made himself known to regular people like Sarah and Abraham, to Hannah and Samuel, to David, to the prophets. And in and around the story of the birth of Jesus, God revealed himself to people like Anna and Simeon, to Mary and Joseph. But in the person of Jesus Christ, we have the ultimate word considering God. As we've been repeating throughout this Advent series, at the center of Christian orthodoxy is the confession that in Jesus Christ, we do not have God pretending to be a man, or God in a man, but God as a man. God the Son became flesh so that God could be known. And the question is, what has Jesus made known to us about God? There was all kinds of surprising things that were made known through Jesus. God's people fully expected God to return and to make things right, but they expected God to come at the end of history. They expected God to come and show mercy to the nation of Israel, but judgment to everyone else. They didn't expect God to become flesh and blood. They didn't expect him to come in weakness and humility. It was all so unexpected that most people missed Jesus when he came. We read last week in John chapter 1, verse 10, though he was in the world, Jesus, and the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. In Jesus, we see a God who became human so that he could bear our weakness and disappointment and shame and sin. In Jesus Christ, we discover a God who loves radically. In Jesus, we discover a God that is close and really interested in your life. As many of you know, when Jesus walked this earth, his most common name for God was Father. He used this term not because he saw God as a cold, distant, angry, unforgiving Father, but because as Father, he is loving and faithful and near and generous. God loves the world so much that he sent his one and only Son, not to condemn the world, but to rescue and save. When we look at Jesus, we see what God is like. When we look at Jesus, we see what humanity can and one day will be like. If you like it, Jesus is humanity 2.0. As human beings, all of us were made in the image of God. We were created for relationship with him. We were invited to participate in God's major project of cultivating the world. But while we've been made for relationship, ironically, the human race is marked by division and strife and envy. We live in God's good world, but this is a very broken world, and we along with it. And the solution to the brokenness of the world is found in God becoming human. Perhaps from time to time you look at the pain of your life and you think to yourself, God doesn't have a clue what it's like to be human, to suffer loss, disappointment, to be misunderstood or rejected. And these kinds of questions need to be brought to the manger and laid before baby Jesus. Jesus didn't live a privileged life. He certainly didn't live a sterilized life. He was up to his elbows in the muck and mire with, like all the rest of us. And so the Creator, the one who made everything, drew near as Redeemer. And God has been acting through the life of Jesus and to this very day to restore and reconcile all that's been broken and lost. By becoming human without ceasing to be God, Jesus took our broken, sinful humanity upon himself. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus lived a vicarious human life. His life counted on behalf of all of us. By becoming human without ceasing to be God, Jesus simultaneously became both priest, the one who makes an acceptable offering, and the sacrifice himself. And so all of our hopes for peace and love and joy, all of our hopes for healing, for wholeness, all of these things have been gathered up in the life and death of Jesus himself. The life Jesus lived, he lived for us. The death he died for us. And we who look with eyes of faith can now see that God knew exactly what he was doing. His faithfulness was on display in Jesus throughout his life and his death and his resurrection. And when we look backwards, it gives us a lens through which we can see today and we can have hope for tomorrow. Perhaps in the recent weeks or months, you've been face to face with a surprise, one you didn't expect, one you don't like. You may find yourselves these days in a situation that is veiled in mystery. You don't understand what's going on. You're confused and unclear. When God became human, a basic principle was written into the script, which is that God can be found in all kinds of surprising places. In the death of Jesus, we learn that even in painful places of life, even in loss, even in death, Jesus can be at work to bring about things for our good, even the most painful things. When we look to Jesus, we see God as he is, like the Christmas carol writes, veiled in flesh, God we see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased is man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. God with us. As I conclude this morning, we're going to enter into a time, just a couple minutes of silent reflection. And I've got a few questions on the screen behind me. You can use one of these questions to aid your reflection, or you can just ignore these questions and open your heart before God. But perhaps you want to reflect on where in this past year Jesus has revealed himself to you or about yourself that you've never considered before, something that you want to grab a hold of. Or where in this past year, what has Jesus transformed or healed or restored, something that you didn't think possible? Or where are you seeking his transformation in the year ahead? So let me release you to silence. Open your mind and heart to the Lord. May God give you ears to hear. Father, the Bible is filled with stories of you revealing yourself to people. Sometimes it was just a voice, sometimes an angelic messenger, and finally with the coming of Jesus. But when you appeared in glory before people, people's natural response was to fall on their faces and to fear that they were going to die. So large, so holy, so glorious was your coming. In those moments, the first word you always spoke was, "Don't be afraid." There's much about you we do not understand and never will. You are mysterious. You dwell, the scripture says, in unapproachable light. But what you have revealed gives us confidence that you are for us, not against us. Amen. You are a God of generous, radical love. You're faithful. You're committed. And when we look to Jesus, God the Son, becoming human, we know just how committed you actually are to us. Jesus once said, "Greater love has no one than this, that they would lay down their life for their friends." Jesus, you laid down your life for the world. And so when we look to you, we see your love for us, for our neighbors, for our friends, for our family. And even now, we lift to you those that we love most in this world, some of whom know you and many of whom do not. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to draw people into the love of the Father through Jesus Christ. We pray that you would make bold our witness and make our lives compelling, that we might continue to hold forth the story of God becoming human for the sake of rescue and salvation. Lord, all of us have experienced some good and some bad this past year. As we look to the new year that is coming, there's any number of things that we might ask you to transform. And so with open hands, Lord, we hold out to you those things that are too burdensome for us to carry, too impossible for us to untangle or solve. And we pray that you would come in your power, in your brilliant wisdom, and that you would sort our tangled messes, that you would reconcile our divided relationships, that you would banish our fear and loneliness. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.